नौ तृतीयः अनुवाकः तृतीयोऽनुवाकः थर्ड सेक्शन एज आई मेंशन्ड अर्लियर दि इन दि थर्ड सेक्शन उपनिषद इज गोइंग टू इंट्रोड्यूस अ डिसिप्लिन ऑफ मेडिटेशन एंड दिस मेडिटेशन प्लीज ऑलवेज अंडरस्टैंड Meditation is always upon Ishvaraha, the Lord, which means focusing our attention on any object which does not symbolize the Lord Ishvaraha, it cannot be taken as the discipline of meditation. So, what is the object of meditation? Saguna Brahma Vishayaha. Saguna Brahma. Sagunam Brahma. Otherwise known as Sagunaha Ishwaraha. Otherwise said to be Ishwaraha should be the top object of meditation. That is why Upasanam is a Manasam Karma. A mental activity. Manasa vyaparaha. Manasaha vyaparaha or manasam karma. Mental activity for which the object is sagunam brahma. So there's a statement you would have learnt earlier, heard it earlier. Sagunam brahma or saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha. Saguna brahma பொருளாக கொண்ட தூய மனதின் செயலே தியானம் உபாசனம் ஓகே அண்ட் ஹியர் உபாசனம் இஸ் ஆக்சுவலி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் உபாசனம் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் உபாசனம் இஸ் ஈஸ்வரஹா மீன்ஸ் ஈஸ்வரஹா ஆல்வேஸ் ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் தி ஹோல் ஈஸ்வரஹா மீன்ஸ் த ஹோல் The universe in its entirety is Ishwaraha. When and where and how we look at the entire universe as Ishwaraha. When I say universe in its entirety, which is inclusive of, which includes our own body, mind, sense complex also. This entire objective including one's own body, mind, sense complex, the whole is looked upon as Ishwaraha. When we understand the universe is, of course, nothing but material in nature. It's all five elemental model, the universe. The gross universe, which we're experiencing in the waking state, and the universe which we experience in our dream, in the form of thoughts only, dream, apart from that, the entire, how there is a subtle aspects which are responsible for the physical body to be alive. Similarly, for the physical universe, the gross manifestation, enjoyable in the waking state itself is dependent on the subtle manifestation for its very existence. So there are twofold manifestations. One is subtle manifestation, one is gross manifestation. Subtle manifestation is what? Subtle manifestation also is a material, subtle universe, subtle material. The universe of subtle matter, the universe of gross matter. But both are material anyway. So this gross universe and subtle universe, which means the subtle and gross material products, the universe, the whole, even though inert in its nature, it does not have independent existence of its own. And if the universe is not created, it is not destructible also. But the universe, for it to have the status of being existent, the universe is very much dependent on the manifestation of knowledge, which means the universe can enjoy the status of being existent only when it becomes the known. For the world to become the known, there must be manifestation of knowledge. And a manifestation of knowledge also is possible because there is a source of manifestation of knowledge, the source knowledge. Therefore, this universe, even though it is material, is not at all looked upon as material, because the very fact the universe is shining is because of the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the entire material inert universe is now looked upon only as the manifestation of knowledge. Just as an inert opaque thing, which they cannot shine independently without the light, in the absence of the light, any time and every time the opaque thing shines and enjoys its existence, the opaque thing, even though it's a reflecting medium for the light, is actually looked upon as the reflection of the light. Similarly, the universe also is looked upon as manifestation of knowledge. Only when the universe is looked upon as the manifestation of knowledge, completely our attitude towards the universe changes. It is no more seen as a bundle of material inert energy, but it is looked upon as knowledge. That is when the universe also is given the Ishvara status. So therefore, manifestation of knowledge, the total manifestation of knowledge, is given Ishvara status. Now, what is Ishvara? Ishvara, which means the ruler, the Lord, one who rules is the Lord. And the Lord is, the ruler is the, said to be the ruler, because but for whose presence the universe cannot even enjoy existence, is said to be the ruler of the universe from the standpoint of the universe, which is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge. What is existence? Otherwise, there's no ruler. So ruler, Ishvaraha, is a qualification attributed to the manifest knowledge, which alone shines in the form of the entire gross universe and subtle universe. When you look at this gross universe separately as the Lord manifestation of knowledge, we give a different name as Virat. When you look at this subtle universe as the manifestation of knowledge, we give a different name as Hiranyagarbha. Otherwise, two different names, that's all. The gross universe also is manifestation of knowledge. Subtle universe also is manifestation of knowledge, and the source of manifestation of knowledge also is one and the same. Therefore, Ishvara is just the qualification attributed to the manifest knowledge, which alone is shining in the form of the universe. Now, object of this meditation is Ishvara Sagunam Brahma, which is the topic of the main important topic of the whole Sikshavali. In Sikshavali, the Upanishad teaches us Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, Ishvara Dhyanam. Whereas in Brahmanandavali second chapter, Upanishad teaches us Nirguna Brahma Jnanam. Dhyanam, Jnanam. You must know the difference, meditation and knowledge. In the second chapter, the subject matter, this subject matter is what? Knowledge of the Nirgunam Brahma. Whereas in first chapter, meditation upon Sagunam Brahma. If you ask me, what is the main topic of discussion in the first chapter? Saguna Brahma Upasanam, the whole chapter can take. The second chapter, the main topic is Nirguna Brahma Jnanam. It's a beautiful division. So we'll understand the importance, necessity of meditation, at the same time, the limitation of the meditation, and the result of meditation. Then in second chapter, we understand how importance of jnanam and result of the jnanam. Is it clear? This is very important. Now, the first chapter, this third chapter, Upanishad first introduces Saguna Brahma Upasanam. And Upasanam, whenever Upasanam means say, Upa means near, Asanam means sitting. Sitting near or being seated near is the meaning of the word Upasanam. And placing the attention of the mind near Bhagavan is Upasanam, Dhyanam. Which means object of meditation is our focus is totally upon Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha. And the different ways of meditating upon Sagunam Brahma. And this particular meditation is called Samhitopasanam. And this meditation we can only understand. We are not expected to practice this meditation. Understanding this meditation is important, necessary. At the same time, we need not practice this because it is not easy for us. Why it is not easy for us? Because we are not students of Vedic scripture. One must have been a student of Vedic scripture in order to understand this and to practice this. And Pooja Swamiji himself writes, the practical instructions of these meditations somehow have become extinct, so they cannot be practiced anymore. But still, It is very useful for us, very, very important and useful for us to understand what exactly the meaning of meditation is, what is the benefit of meditation, what limitation of meditation, and what is the significance of meditation. To understand the concept of meditation, it's very helpful here. Therefore, we cannot skip these portions. We should study. Okay. And then Samhita Upasanam, Samhita Upasanam. Why is it called Samhita Upasanam? Let me brief you before I start the teaching, so you will not find it too difficult. Samhita means Sandhi. Sandhi means combination of letters. And here, the combination of letters from any word of a Veda mantra. Combination of letters found in any Veda mantra can be taken as a symbol of meditation. Let me make it clear. Symbol in Sanskritam is called Alambanam. A symbol of meditation is called Alambanam. Alambanam means support. Why do we need a symbol Alambanam in meditation? Because meditation is always upon the total, the whole, Hiranyagarbha, or Virat, Ishwaraha. So the mind which is part of the total, the tiny little part of the huge, incomprehensibly vast total, cannot visualize the total. It is not possible. And even sometimes, not even the total, we take even the total is invoked upon some natural phenomena known as devatas. Every natural phenomenon is a huge, incomprehensible. Every phenomenon which forms part of the whole is incomprehensibly huge. And what about the total? Total is far incomprehensible, non-visualizable. Therefore, here even the total Ishvara is always invoked upon devatas. So invoking the Lord, the whole, the total, upon the fraction, the devata, is meditation. Every point is important to understand meditation. Lord, the total, the whole, Hiranyagarbha, is invoked upon the fraction in the form of a given phenomenon, devata. And this devata is also huge. Therefore, to invoke the total upon the fraction, Ishvara upon the devata, we need a symbol. For devata also we have symbol. So devata symbolizes, symbol stands for devata. Devata stands for Ishvara. And a symbol is called Alambanam. Okay, who is the object of meditation? Hiranyagarbha. How Hiranyagarbha is invoked? Hiranyagarbha is invoked in the form of different devatas. And those devatas are visualized upon these symbols. The symbol stands for devata. Devata stands for samashtihi Ishvara. Now, but what is the symbol here in this particular meditation? Symbol. Now we have different symbols. We have murtis, forms with limbs. So forms with the limbs are called a form with the limbs is called Savayava Murtihi. Savayava Murtihi is Pratima. Niravayava Murtihi is Pratikaha. So, like that we have Savayava Murtihi, Niravayava Murtihi. The symbols only have like this. Bhagavan is absolutely formless or total, incomprehensibly vast form. We are talking about these symbols, Alambanam. Alambanam can be Savayava Murtihi, a form with the limbs, or it can be like Savayava Murtihi, like we have Devi, Krishna, Rama, in temples we have. Anir Avayava Murtihi, a limbless symbol, Pratikaha, like Shivalingam, Salagrama, even Omkara is a sound symbol, therefore known as Pratikaha. Now, so much of preparation for the third chapter. Now, what are the symbols here in this meditation? Samhita. Samhita is taken as an alambanam, symbol for meditation. Samhita means what? Combination of letters. So, in combination of when letters are combined, sometimes there will be four factors involved. When letters are combined, four factors are involved. What are the four factors? One letter must be a preceding letter. Letter must be a following letter. And the preceding letter is called Purva Rupam. The following letter is called Uttara Rupam. When two words are combined or two letters come together, it's called combination. Then the preceding letter and the following letter. And in between, there is a gap. There's a gap, and that gap in between is called Sandhihi. The preceding letter is called Purva Rupam, prior form. The following letter is called Uttara Rupam, the posterior form. In between the two letters, there is a gap which is called a Sandhi. And when these two letters come together filling the gap, sometimes because of the grammar rule, one more new letter can get inserted. That newly inserted letter is called Sandhanam. Purva Rupam, Uttara Rupam, Sandhihi, Sandhanam. Munnezhuthu, Pinnezhuthu, Idaiveli, Idaivelil Vandu Serugindra Pudhiya Oru Ezhuthu. All these four factors, prior form, Purva Rupam, Uttara Rupam, the posterior form, in between the two letters there is a gap which is called a Sandhihi, and when these two letters come together removing the Sandhi gap, one more new letter will come, that is called Sandhanam. Now these four factors are involved in any big proper Sandhi. So here the combination of letters of a Veda mantra is taken as an alambanam, not word from an ordinary literature or any other place. Word can be taken anywhere, combination of letters can be taken from anywhere, but here, this for this meditation specifically, a word taken for meditation, the combination of letters associated with the word belonging to the Veda mantra is taken. It's called Samhita. So Samhita Upasanam means the meditation in which the Samhita, the four factors of combination of letters, four factors associated with the combination of letters are taken as symbols. I'll repeat my definition. Samhita Upasanam means the meditation in which the four factors associated with combination of letters are taken as symbols. It's called Samhitopasanam. But in these four symbols, four different devatas will be invoked. And the four devatas represent Hiranyagarbha, the whole. So upon these symbols, in terms of four samhitas, four factors associated with the samhita, four devatas are visualized. And the four devatas symbolize Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, samhitopasanam. Now, and why it is said for a student of Veda, from morning till evening, again night also, again every day, a brahmachari who lives in the gurukulam with the teacher, his name itself is brahmachari. Why? Because his mind is supposed to be repeatedly placed in the Veda known as Brahma. Yasya manaha brahmani sada charate saha brahmachari. Brahmachari does not mean the unmarried boy, bachelor. Brahmachari means disciplined boy whose mind is always in Veda mantras, Veda, 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 Veda. You must come and see Veda Pashala children. for them, they don't know the outside world. Morning till evening, you have to chant. Learn to chant. Sandhya Vandanam, Samhita Dhanam, then mantra chanting. Eat, chant, 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 memorize, chant, memorize, sleep, get up, have shower, wear clean clothes, wash your things, come back. Again, this is the life routine. So disciplined, clean life. They have no time to think of anything else. Therefore, for them, it is very easy to remember any Vedic word. Any word of Veda mantra, they can easily remember. They know which it is the preceding letter, which is the following letter, what is the gap there, what is the newly inserted letter there. Every word they know, every mantra they know. Therefore, it is easy for them to invoke devatas, Hiranyagarbha, in the form of devatas upon these four factors associated with Samhita, combination of letters. Therefore, it is meant for them. That is why we have Samhita Upasanam. And here, four devatas are invoked. It is a group meditation. Group meditation means there are five groups of devatas, and each group consisting of four devatas are going to be invoked upon these four factors. So totally 20 devatas will be invoked. And each group of devatas belonging to a given field. So first meditation, second meditation, third meditation, fourth meditation, fifth meditation. Which means the same old, all the same four aspects are retained as alambanani. But five devatas belonging to five different fields are invoked upon these letters, Samhita letters. So it's a group meditation. So five meditations consisting of four devatas each of five different fields is called here Samhitopasanam. With this, we will see that later on. Now let me tell you a definition of meditations. Number one definition, because it's very important to understand. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha, one definition. Mental activity in which object of meditation is, for which object of meditation is Sagunam Brahma Hiranyagarbha Ishwaraha. Then second definition. Nikrishta Vastuni. You all must write. Nikrishta Vastuni. Utkrishta Vastunaha Aropaha. It is not a grammar class. It is not language class. This is a Taittiriya Upanishad class. Nikrishta Vastuni. Utkrishta Vastunaha Aropaha. You can say otherwise also. Utkrishta Vastunaha Nikrishta Vastuni Aropaha. What does it mean? Aropaha means superimposition. Aropaha means superimposition. Superimposition of Utkrishta Vastu means something exalted, an exalted being, an exalted thing, a great thing, a laudable, worshipful thing, worshipable thing is called Utkrishta Vastu. மிகவும் மேலான ஒரு பொருள், இது உத்கிருஷ்ட வஸ்து. So superimposition of something exalted upon what? Nikrishta vastuni. Nikrishta was in something very, very ordinary, an object, an inferior order. Something superior is invoked upon something ordinary. So invoking something exalted upon something ordinary, which means superimposition of something nikrishtam, sorry, something utkrishtam, superior, upon the nikrishtam. Nikrishta vastuni, sadharana oru porulil, melana oru porulai yetru vittudal. Superimposition of utkrishta vastu upon nikrishta vastu is called upasanam, meditation. Because this alambanam, for example, we take a piece of metal or piece of wood or piece of stone, carved stone, a stone, ordinary stone. But we do panapatishta, then we invoke as Bhagavan, Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu. Who is invoked, who is worshipped there? Lord Bhagavan, the whole. Time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, all-pervasive Bhagavan, all-mighty Bhagavan, omniscient Bhagavan, omnipotent Bhagavan is invoked upon an ordinary stone. We don't call it anymore stone. After Pana Pratishta, Bhagavan for us. Therefore, ordinary stone is Nikrishta Vastu, Bhagavan is Utkrishta Vastu. So, what do we do now in the temples or puja room? We have all symbols. So, utkrishta vastunaha nikrishta vastuni aropaha. Which means the ordinary small piece of stone is loaded with, Pujya Swamiji's expression, loaded with the hay, something big. Okay, superimposition of something big upon something ordinary. And here, you have to remember one thing. This superimposition, knowingly done or unknowingly done? It is knowingly done. How? We know very well, Bhagavan is the whole, omniscient, omnipotent, almighty Lord. And we also know the picture or photo or a piece of stone is very, very ordinary. We definitely know Bhagavan is not this stone. Bhagavan is not this picture. Bhagavan is not this small thing which we sitting in our puja room or in temple. Bhagavan, all-pervasive Bhagavan is not this small thing. But still knowingly. But this symbol is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not this small piece of wood or stone. But this small piece of stone is definitely Bhagavan. With this knowledge, knowing Bhagavan is not the alambanam, Bhagavan is not this object, small object, we superimpose. For superimposition of something superior upon the something ordinary, knowingly is called, it's knowingly done, therefore, upasanam is also known by another expression, knowledge or vidya, jnanam or vidya. Even though the word knowledge means jnanam or vidya, knowledge means jnanam. The word jnanam actually means knowledge. The word vidya means knowledge. But the word vidya or jnanam is also used to mean meditation, upasanam. Why? Because the superimposition is done knowingly. Let me give you, what does it mean by doing superimposition, knowingly done superimposition? When you mistake the rope for a snake, that snake is superimposed upon the rope. there superimposition is unknowingly done. The superimposition of rope, snake upon the rope is because of, caused by ignorance. Ignorance caused superimposition. Whereas here superimposition is not ignorantly done, knowingly done. In Upasanam, superimposition is done knowingly. Therefore, it is called Vidya. It's also known by another term, Jnanam or Vidya. Okay, now you know the second definition of meditation. Third definition of meditation is Vijatiya Vijatiya Pratyaya Vijatiya Pratyaya Anantarita Vijatiya Pratyaya Anantarita Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha Vijatiya. See, we are supposed to know all these definitions before entering into the topic of meditation. Swamiji mentions in between. So I wanted to put it before so that it will be easy for me to teach. Vijatiya Pratyaya Anantarita Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha is the another definition of meditation. What does it mean? Pravahaha means flow. Pratyaya means thoughts. Pratyaya means a thought. Pratyaya pravahaha means pratyayanam pravahaha, flow of thoughts. But there must be, in meditation, there is the focused attention is there. There is thoughts are entertained in meditation. So there is a constant continuous flow of thoughts. But which flow of thoughts? The object of meditation is the, must be the only object of all the constantly flowing thoughts. There should not be too many objects. Only one object must be an object of thought. Therefore, there must be constant continuous flow of similar thoughts having same object. It's called Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha. Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravaha. Sajatiya means similar. The thoughts for which the object is the same. Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravaha. The constant continuous flow of thoughts having the same object is said to be constant continuous flow of similar thoughts. If the flow of thoughts must be of the same, one and the same object of meditation, means there should not be thoughts associated with any other objects. Therefore, constant continuous flow of similar thoughts associated with the one and the same object to the exclusion of all other dissimilar thoughts. Dissimilar thoughts means thoughts associated with other varied objects or any other object except the object of meditation. They are known as Vijatiya, Vijatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha. Vijatiya Pratyaya. So Vijatiyanam Pratyayanam Anantarita. Vijatiya Pratyaya Anantarita. అనంతరితమే నౌ ఎక్స్క్లూడెడ్. సో విజాతీయ ప్రత్యయ అనంతరిత సజాతీయ ప్రత్యయ ప్రవాహ. దిస్ ఇస్ మెడిటేషన్. వాట్ ఈస్ మెడిటేషన్? నౌ వీ హావ్ టు సీ ద ఫుల్ మీనింగ్. విజాతీయ ప్రత్యయ అనంతరిత సజాతీయ ప్రత్యయ ప్రవాహ. Constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts associated with one and the same object to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts, to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts associated with any other object. Okay, now you are thorough. You are ready for entering into the topic. Three definitions you must memorize. You must know exactly what it is. I may say something else also later on, okay? At present, I remember only this much. But these are three important definitions. Okay. Now, the most important thing is, before even entering into the topic of meditation, the chapter itself, the third section itself is known as Samhita. The main topic of this third section happens to be Samhitopasanam. The section is known as Samhitopasanam section. But here the student is very thoughtful. Before even beginning this first meditation discussed in the chapter, he begins with the prayer. The first two small sentences of the section consist of prayer. What are they? Now go to the mantra. I can talk to you the meditation tomorrow maybe. Now let us do this. Saha nau yashaha. సహ నౌ యశః సహ నౌ యశః సహ నౌ బ్రహ్మ వర్చసం సహ నౌ బ్రహ్మ వర్చసం సహ నౌ బ్రహ్మ వర్చసం. The first two lines, only these two small lines consist of prayer by a student. The student alone is doing this prayer, but he includes his teacher in his prayer. He does the prayer for the teacher also. Because the practice of upasanam is very important. Therefore, before the topic of upasanam is introduced, the student thoughtfully presents his prayer, offers a very special prayer. And he also mentions through this prayer, what he implies is that any benefit, any prayojanam phalam that's going to be obtained from this practice of upasanam, whatever benefit, whatever result is going to be, mainly benefit is going to be derived from this meditation, should be there for both the teacher as well as the student. which means the student as well as the teacher, both of them should enjoy the benefit of this meditation. Here, it's very important to note, the teacher may not be, or definitely teacher is not interested in any benefit, but the student himself, out of his own well-meaning nature, he prays that the benefit should be there for both teacher and him. What he prays, Saha Nau Yashaha. Yashaha means fame. Naha means together. Now means us. Now means us. Saha means together. Like Sahana Bhavatu, same thing. Saha Nau Yashaha. It is not a complete sentence. Saha Nau Yashaha Bhavatu. Means what? Let there be fame for both of us together. Or let both of us together have fame. Which means, as a result of practicing meditation, we will become qualified for the attainment of knowledge. We can attain the jnanam. Or we will be eligible, we will earn punyam. We will earn the grace of Hiranyagarbha Ishwaraha. So naturally, the practice of meditation will bless one with fame later on. So he already says, may this meditation which is going to be practiced bless both the teacher and the student with the fame. And next one is Brahma Varchas. Sahanau Brahma Varchasam. So may we both, teacher and the student, have Brahma Varchas. Brahma Varchas Sakaranta Shabdaha. Brahma Varchas means the facial glow or brilliance one gets as a result of living a disciplined life of chanting Veda mantras, eating clean food, entertaining clean thoughts, and always involved in meditation, the thoughts of Bhagavan. All this naturally bless one with certain unique facial glow. It is called Brahma Varchas. Another Swami says, magnetic, attractive personality. There's another expression. So, may we both have Brahma Varchas. A sense, some form of attractiveness will be there on the part of the person. It is not ordinary attraction. It is born of the clean life, the blessing of living a clean life. Brahma Varchas. May we both have Brahma Varchas. A commentator say, the teacher must be already having Brahma Varchas and fame. Or the teacher may not be interested in fame, actually. Whether he is famous or not, he may not be interested in fame. But a student is praying for fame and Brahma Varchas for both of them. Some commentators write, the student is very keen for his teacher to become famous so that he will have the fame of being a student of such famous teacher. This is the commentator's note, okay? Sahanau yashaha, sahanau brahma varchasam. Which means, may we both, teacher and the student, have fame. May we both have this spatial effulgence born of the inner leisure, because of the result of inner leisure or mental tranquility born of our living a disciplined life. Okay. These are the two prayers we have. Now, let me tell you first of all, the meditation here, before even entering it there, now the teacher tells, Athata sagumhitaya upanishadam vyakhyasyamaha. Athata sagumhitaya upanishadam vyakhyasyamaha. Here we have the task, two things in our hands. First is we have to do the Moola Granthaha first. Then we have to do the Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary also. Shankaracharya writes very little commentary upon all these text portions in Sikshavali. He gives a really elaborate commentary. He writes only from second chapter. But whatever little commentary he has given, I will definitely do it. Okay. Now, atha is an indicable word. Same thing for Shankaracharya's commentary also. Atha, then means what? After having discussed the, here the Upanishad says, atha, then implies after having presenting the science of pronunciation very briefly in the previous section. Now Upanishad is introducing the topic of meditation. Is the meaning of the word atha. Then ataha, athatas. Break atha, then ataha. Ataha, therefore. Now, then sagumhitaya upanishadam vyakhyasyamaha. Again, sagumhita, when you see, you might notice a small dot with the crescent moon like. That sound is actually, it's a Vedic usage expression. Gum. Sagumhita. Sagumhita is, there's no such a word called sagumhita. In Vedic chanting, it is used. It must be understood as samhita. Sagumhita is a Vedic expression. For the meaning, we should take it as samhita. Athata sagumhitaya upanishadam vyakhyasyamaha. Athata sagumhitaya upanishadam vyakhyasyamaha. Athata sagumhitaya upanishadam vyakhyasyamaha. Ataha sagumhitayaha upanishadam vyakhyasyamaha. Okay. So vyakhyasyamaha means we shall expound, we shall explain now what upanishadam. Please make a note. Here the word upanishadam means upasanam. Now we shall explain the topic of meditation. Upanishadam vyakhyasyamaha means upasanam vyakhyasyamaha. Be careful. Why upasanam is known by the term Upanishad? Are you all tired? Okay. Upanishad means upasanam. The word upasanam is meant by the word Upanishad here. Why? Because upasanam, the meditation, is supposed to prepare our minds for the attainment of Brahma Vidya, the knowledge. Therefore, upasanam is also known as Upanishad. Okay. We shall explain upasanam here in this section. But which Upanishad? Samhitayaha. Upasanam, meditation pertaining to or associated with meditation of Samhita. Samhita. Samhita means combination of letters. Samhita, one word implies four factors associated with combination of letters. So we'll discuss meditation upon Samhita, combination of letters. And next we is Panchasvadhikaraneshu. 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 So we shall explain meditation upon the combination or conjunction of letters. Okay. Panchasu adhikaraneshu. You break it. Panchasu adhikaraneshu. Please remember the word adhikaranam literally means location. But here adhikaranam does not mean location. We should take it as the field or the topic. Pancha means five. So we shall explain or teach the meditation on combination of letters or conjunction of letters. Letters panchasu adhikaraneshu, associated with five fields or five topics. Five fields or five topics. ஐந்து விஷயங்களில் தொடர்புடைய தியானத்தை நாம் கற்றுத்தருவோம். Why locative case? Don't ask me. That is how style. In Sanskritam cannot be literally translated into English. Okay. Now, what is the first meditation? So I already told you there are four factors are involved in combination of conjunction of letters. One is the preceding letter, Purva Rupam. Following letter, Uttara Rupam. The gap in between is called Sandhihi. And the newly inserted letter is called Sandhanam. Purva Rupam, Uttara Rupam, Sandhihi, Sandhanam. And these four factors are going to be symbols. Alambanani, alambanam, alambanani. Each letter will be taken as an alambanam for one given devata. Therefore, there are going to be five meditations. Which means that it's a group meditation consisting of 20 devatas. The associated with the five different fields or topics invoked upon four symbols. Okay. So first meditation is going to be Adhilokam. Let me tell the words first, then I can make you easily chant. Adhilokam means the objects of meditation taken for meditation, the devatas who are going to be invoked upon these four symbols are related to the world. Therefore, it is called Adhilokam. Adhilokam means a meditation in which four aspects related to the world, associated with the world, will be taken. The meditation in which the four aspects or factors associated with or pertaining to the world will be taken. That's called what? That's known as Adhiloka Samhita Upasanam. The first meditation is called what? Adhiloka Samhita Upasanam. I'm only introducing, not yet started. Adhiloka Samhita Upasanam first. Then second meditation is going to be, the second a group meditation is going to be Adhijyotisha Samhitopasanam. Why in second meditation, is Adhijyotisha Samhitopasanam, in which the luminaries, the four aspects or four factors associated with the luminaries, the four factors also pertaining to the luminous bodies will be taken for meditation. It's called Adhijyotisha Samhitopasanam. The third meditation will be Adhividya Samhitopasanam. Adhividya Samhitopasanam, in which is a third group meditation wherein four factors related to the learning or education, four factors related to the learning will be invoked upon the four aspects of Samhita. It is known as Adhividya Upasanam. Okay. Now fourth group meditation is what? Adhipraja Upasanam. Adhipraja Samhitopasanam. Adhipraja Samhitopasanam is the fourth meditation. In this meditation, four factors pertaining to progeny will be taken, meditated upon. Therefore, it is called Adhipraja Samhitopasanam. The last one, fifth one, will be Adhyatma Samhitopasanam. Is the last one. Adhyatma Samhitopasanam. In this Adhyatma Samhitopasanam, four factors related to one's own self, individual. Four factors related to any individual, one's own self, will be taken as objects of meditation. Like this, we have 20 objects belonging to 5 different topics or fields, 4 from each to be invoked upon these 4 symbols in the form of four factors associated with combination of letters. Okay. And he says, let us see the sentence now. After knowing this much, we must see the mantra now. One long sentence, no break. Okay, listen to me and you can chant. Adhilokamadhijyotishamadividyamadiprajamadhyatmam. Adhilokamadhijyotishamadividyamadiprajamadhyatmam. All udatta swaras. Only praja, swarita, then ya, anudatta. Adhilokamadhijyotishamadividyamadiprajamadhyatmam. Unfortunately, Pooja Swamiji's book does not have English transliteration of mantras. Those who want English transliteration of mantras, you must search on the... I pray all of you are able to read Sanskrit text. Adhilokamadhijyotishamadhividyamadhiprajamadhyatmam. So I break it. Adhilokam, adhijyotisham, adhividyam, adhiprajam, adhyatmam. What are these five? These five, adhi, the expression adhi is a prefix which actually means pertaining to, adhi means pertaining to, related to, associated with. See, lokaha means world. Lokaha means world. Adhi lokam, when it is adjoined, this adhi is added to the lokaha, together form one expression, adhilokam. Adhiloka means anything pertaining to loka is said to be adhilokam. Anything associated with the lokaha is known as adhilokam. And here we are taking four different aspects, factors belonging to the loka. Adhilokam. So what are the four aspects related to the loka? That we will see tomorrow. Okay. And so I couldn't do much today. And make a complete thorough notes of what I've learned today. And I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you in half an hour for Chandi. How many of you do not like Chandi? Put up